Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Let's face it, the future is now. We're living in a connected cyber society, and we need to stop ignoring it or pretending that it's not affecting us. Join us as we explore how humanity arrived at this current state of digital reality and what it means to live amongst so much technology and data. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impact of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com.
Here we are, Marco. We've left the city.
We left the city. We're on a travel around the world today, and that's one thing that if people follow us, they know we like to do. I don't think we're doing it enough, because sometimes it's hard time zones and putting people together, but every time we do, I get really excited, because that's the stories I want to hear. You know, I want to hear different what happening in everywhere else in the world, and that's our society.
That is our society. We're one global society, and I get excited when I see amazing things happening in different places, and I want to learn more. Exactly. One, just because it seems really, really nice and inspiring, but also because I want to understand how we can learn from things happening in other places and perhaps apply some of those lessons to our own areas.
Absolutely.
And
And we connected with the technology, which is obviously what we do. So we're actually redefining here technology and society, although this is the Redefining Society channel. So without further ado, I say we introduce our guest, which is someone that has done a lot and in a very creative way. So I'm very excited to hear this story, Sean.
Exactly. So Diane is from Kenya, joining us from Germany today. Diana, thanks so much for being part of this. And I'm really looking forward to your story and all the work you've been doing in Kenya. And maybe a few words to introduce yourself, your background, what you're up to, and then we'll get into some of the things you've been working on.
Thank you, Sean and Marco, for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and thank you for all you do for the community. So I'm Diana Withanji. I'm from Kenya. I'm a cybersecurity engineer with a background in software engineering, and I'm also the founder of Wahandisi La Femme, which is an initiative that focuses on mentoring rural girls in rural Kenya into engineering and technology. I'm currently an AfricaCompt fellow, and I'm in Germany, joining SAP Germany soon in their product engineering central security team, which is very exciting. And I also sit in the IT security committee and the software and systems engineering committee of the Kenya Bureau of Standards. Definitely excited for this conversation, and let's do this.
Absolutely, let's do this. And a lot of background there, that each single one of those things that you do could be a topic for a conversation, and maybe there'll be space and time for that. But today we want to know what you've been doing in Kenya, and specifically how you're trying to reach more secluded area that maybe are not as easy accessible from technology evolution and development and integration in our everyday society, like could be in the city, but reaching other places outside of it, and how you've been very creative in doing that. So tell us, what is that focus that you have right now?
Yeah, I was raised in the rural village of Nyandarua. It's a marginalized county in central Kenya. And to date, there's still no internet. So then it was even worse in terms of even electricity. But I still gained interest in technology and cybersecurity through various support systems, including my family, quality education that I got outside the community. But it's not every young girl and every young woman, every young person that gets such an opportunity to get out there, to upskill, to travel even internationally, to be in such calls. So I became really deliberate about creating cybersecurity awareness in my community while mentoring girls, but now in the community at large, because people in the marginalized communities are still affected. While they may not have smartphones or internet, there's still a mode of SMS. For example, I'll give you a situation where someone actually posted that school-going children, it was parents versus a fisher or a scammer. So he was asking for parents about school fees, and also it was a geometric set, which is very necessary. I actually also got the message. And you see, this is still a phishing scam because the parents are going to send the money because they think it's the parents, it's the teachers that are asking for it. So I've become really deliberate about going to vernacular stations in my community, in my country, and speaking cybersecurity to the easiest way. Any research that I've done, any technology that is advancing, for example, even Uber, using Uber or various transportation systems. Farming is a very common activity in my county in Kenya. So also any technology that is being embraced using SMS, that is a priority for me because smartphones are still, there's still less few people who have smartphones. So I've become more deliberate about creating awareness through radio, speaking my vernacular language. If I cannot speak my vernacular language, because technically there are 44 tribes in Kenya, I speak Swahili and put cybersecurity to the easiest. Even when I speak English, because sometimes you'll be hosted in late night shows, or shows that are in English, I'll still put cybersecurity awareness in the easiest way someone who has never interacted in tech can interact with it.
I love that. And clearly the vernacular is important, right? Connecting to the people you're speaking with is the first part.
Yeah.
The second part is connecting the story to them as well, something they can understand and relate to. So how do you, I'll make a comment. Generally speaking, cybersecurity leads with fear. And I'm wondering, do you follow that same model when you're communicating, or do you choose a different tactic to connect the story of the risk that they face and the opportunities they have with technology?
I agree with you. Cybersecurity, most of the awareness, we preach it with a lot of fear. Let me use the word even preaching right now. But yeah, we create awareness around fear. My model is real life situations. So for example, the phishing scams that go on, or the mobile service providers. We have M-Pesa, which is a leading service provider here in terms of money transactions. So any scams that go on, encouraging people, do not share your PIN because person X shared. I just look for a real life case, like person X shared their PIN and their whole account on M-Pesa was swept, or their phone was accessed and they accessed someone else who sent them money that they were not supposed to send. So I mostly use real life situations, and these real life situations are mostly connected to fear, to be honest, because you'll be letting people avoid that situation. So yes to fear, and also yes to more awareness.
And that's cybersecurity for you, but there is a different side of the story, and that's the one of technology and how technology has done so much to bring opportunity to people, giving again more opportunity and growing the society. And what I'm interested to know is, how big of a difference is there between the technology that you have access in the main cities in Kenya versus the one that you just described? Is there really a big discrepancy? And maybe the people in the rural area hear that there is this magic technology happening in the city. How is that conversation going?
There have been quite a number of developments in terms of telecom providers or ISPs reaching to the communities out there. So there is progress. I cannot say there is much of a bigger discrepancy compared to a few years back. So there has been progress and progress and progress. So the adoption of smartphones, of course, I was involved once in a research where we were looking at technology, software versus climate change. And when we went into the inner parts of Western Kenya, actually the people there believe in radio. They believe in radio to date. They believe that smartphones are not the best thing to own because you can be scammed or you can be harmed, or even issues like breaking families. So there are also some stereotypes that still exist around technology. Some people are still not adaptive to social media. So like me, when I go and encourage fellow young people to use social media also for their own professional development, you still have to beat some of the stereotypes that exist around there, for example, scamming or what. So there is a big discrepancy, but there's progress that is going on and on. So when you show like those farmers what smart apps can do, or what apps can do for them in terms of showing them the weather, the market, of course they adopt the technology.
Yeah, and that's where the technology power come in. As they often say, the future is here, it's just not equally distributed, and this is a typical case, although you know it exists everywhere else in the world as well. But my comment for that is that it's more a question, actually. It's not a comment. It's a question for you. Like, when you go talk to these people and you use the vernacular language and you come from there, so you know exactly how to connect with them. Apart from that layer of fear of scamming, do they see this? Like, do you see excitement on their face about, especially the young people, for the opportunity that this might bring to them?
Yes, there's a lot of excitement for the opportunities of technologies, because you find that once I'm hosted, for example, in a vernacular station, I'll probably get a message on any of my social networks or my email address on questions, on follow-up questions on how you can apply for a training program online or apply for a scholarship or get connected to any transport system that you want to use, a convenient transport system through technology. So there's a lot of excitement around it.
So Dan, if leading from that, if you can share with us some of the work you're doing to help bring more people into the field of technology and even cyber, through awareness of STEM and opportunities along those lines. So things your organization is doing to help with that.
So I started an initiative called STEM Wahandisi La Femme when I was 21 years old, just when I was about to clear university, because I identified the need. I went for a leadership training. I was a student leader in university, and I went to a leadership training, and that's when for the first time the reality of gender inequality actually hit me. I didn't know about inequalities, I didn't know about SDGs, and thanks to that training that it hit me, it was not it was actually privilege or not privilege that I was in a class that had few women and more men, but more can be done to align those numbers.
And can you give us some concrete, specific example of the things that you're doing on the field with, especially with the young women, how you encourage them, and what kind of opportunity can they get? And also, is the government involved in this, the education system?
Yes, so I involve them through mentorship programs, follow-up mentorship programs. The other thing is that I'm very active in cybersecurity communities here in Kenya. So it's through training new entrants into the field and also creating awareness around it. About the government has just enacted the 2019 Kenya Data Protection Law. And in terms of involvement, I'm involved with the Kenya Bureau of Standards, which they really do not go in the grassroots, but at least they come up with systems that align or that support more women in cybersecurity and more standards that also guard women against cyber harassment.
Yeah, and Diana, I'm wondering, can you paint a picture for us, a visual picture of what the training looks like? Do you and others that support you with this initiative, do they travel to the community? Do they bring people together in little groups, or is it one-on-one? Are you training with technology, or are you using books to kind of paint the picture for them? Or do you bring them to a place where technology exists that they can get their hands on? Describe that picture for me, what that looks like.
Yes, thank you for the question. So a normal training day would be, I'll paint for you a picture in a high school in a rural area, which is our main focus. So we'll travel there from the city. I have a group of mentors who are also volunteers, and thanks to them, because that's how our processes run. We speak to them about technology and engineering courses that exist. So once we tell them about the technology, because we'll speak to a large group, cognizant that group of girls, there might be someone who wants to pursue medicine or law, which is still very okay. So for those who get interested in in technology and engineering, we attach them to a mentor each. So a mentor that will be following up with them every semester, every term, when they open school, when they are on holiday, and definitely also have child protection guidelines on how you engage that mentor so that you also protect the student at hand. Most of them are minors. And in terms of, so the mentor now exposes the girl into technology. We'll carry our laptops there to teach them, cognizant that these are schools in the rural area where they don't even have electricity, and also encourage them to visit cyber cafes that are around their place to practice simple things like Microsoft Word for starters. So that's it. And now that's when we start calculating our impact. And when they pick a course, because not all of them get admitted to university directly depending on their marks. So if they get admitted to a college, that's when now we start measuring our impact and ensure that this is a whole journey. When someone takes a certificate in IT, they'll go all the way and take also a degree in it, because getting into technology is one thing, getting into the IT sector is one thing, and staying is another thing, especially as a young woman.
I'm curious also to know if you can answer to this. I'm sure you can. The community, the cybersecurity community, and the researcher academy, it's pretty collaborative. So I'm wondering if there is a bigger scope that embrace organizations like yours and cooperate in the general area, like in that part of Africa or Africa in general, or is something that is very unique to your region and it has to take strong people like yourself to make it happen. So is it like a more extended coordination, or is very about, I'm going to go out and do it because nobody else is?
It's an extended coordination. That's an interesting question. It's an extended coordination to some point, because other people are actually doing it. And what you do, for example, there's community called Angaza Dada. For them, it's promoting girls into leadership in rural areas. So mostly we collaborate with them. So while they're giving mentorship on leadership, because leadership is also something I'm really passionate about, we are also, on this other hand, giving them mentorship on around technology and engineering, because at the end of the day, you also want leaders, you want thought leaders in these fields. So yes, there are collaborative actions that you can take place. Sometimes they may be difficult, but communities try to support each other here and there, here in Africa.
That's fantastic. And Diana, what I'd like to hear now is the future of the work you're doing and the mentors that have come together to help with this initiative and this program. What's the vision for this? What's the future? What are some of the next steps that you expect to see in the next year or so?
One vision that I have is to bring in a fully sustainable cybersecurity training program for girls in the grassroots. I'm a beneficiary of the 100 Women in 100 Days by Carmen Marsh, and I was very impressed by how sustainable that program is, because women get in there and they get and you get a certification. So that means you upskill to another level. You're never the same again. You upskill, you network with the community that is there. And I was really inspired by that. So my next vision, my next action steps is to collaborate with people and also with communities and various corporates and come up with a distinct program, a very sustainable program that will go on for many generations in cybersecurity.
We are familiar with Carmen that you mentioned, and and many other wonderful women and men actually that are allies for this in the community all over the world. So it's exciting to see that it's a small world after all, and we're all coming together. And as far as ITSP Magazine goes, whatever we can help with in order to spread the word and involve more people, we will certainly do that. As a matter of fact, for the people that are listening, if there are other stories from other part of the world that somebody would like to share related to technology, STEM, cybersecurity, diversity, we encourage you to do that. And for you, we encourage you to share all the resources that you may have, links that we will definitely put into the notes for these episodes on itspmagazine.com. And just extend and keep this conversation going, because it's an important community, it's an important topic, and it's important to have it global. But it's also important to break it down for the individual culture. We can't just make a stamp and use it everywhere in the world. And I think Sean has a special request for you now.
I do. And I was wondering, Diana, if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing a message of hope or action or a call to action for your local community in your native tongue, in Swahili, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Thank you. Wakenya wenzangu, na encourage kuwa tudumishe usalama wa mtandao, tujifunze kutumia mtandao huu kwa usalama na kufuata sheria ambayo imewekwa hapo sababu ya mtandao.
Well, I wish I could say I understand that, but I think people that need to hear that message, they will. So I love it. I really love it.
Yeah. And
Sean,
I appreciate that.
Great guest.
Yeah. Fantastic to meet you, Diana, and to have you on the show. And really thank you for sharing your story and for all the work you're doing for your community and even beyond that. And hope to have you on the show again for many other topics. And those listening, check out the resources, connect with Diana, support the community, support each other. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.
RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at RSA.com. Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.